Okay, we just were talking briefly about children's mental health and what is the most important thing in dealing with children's mental health.
As far as parents go, they really want to be involved enough to know what's going on in the child's life and have enough communication, interaction that they can recognize that and be available if the kid needs help. And a lot of that's rooted in helping the child with affection and discipline and other things, know that child is important. There's so many problems that result in terms of behavior that come from poor self-image and a sense of not being connected or wanted. So parents who help their children feel like they belong really do a lot to insulate and help those children with their own self-image, obviously, and then mental health.
You know, as a child growing up, I could not personally have asked for a better home life than what I had. Even so, even though I had the Ozzie and Harriet lifestyle growing up and could not have asked for better parents, I still had a very poor self-image, primarily because of peer pressure. So,
yeah, well, how people treat us has an enormous bearing on our self-image. And obviously our parents are probably, you know, like a primary source of that sense of self-worth. Relationship with God's even more significant, but you gotta be old enough to understand that. And then your peers and how your friends or your peers treat you, that has a really big influence on how you see yourself.
I was the kid that nobody wanted on their ball team at PE or recess because I was terrible in sports. My dad was an outdoorsman. I grew up hunting and fishing, but I was the kid that nobody wanted on their ball team because I wasn't good in football, didn't really care anything about it. Same with baseball, right. Same with basketball. And because I wasn't good in those things, in my peers' eyes, I was nothing. And that had a profound effect on me in my late teens and early childhood is how I saw myself.
Right. Well, you know, they've got that narrow selection on athletic ability or sports as the, you know, preeminent virtue of your worth. But, and that does take a toll, but it's fantastic that your parents taught you to kind of bear responsibility, which actually has a longer term effect on your mental health. It's like, I am able and I'm resourceful and I'm able to discharge responsibilities. And I mean, that's basically how you earn your living is you do something.
Yeah, look at me now. Yeah.
Pays you. Yeah. But as a kid, it's really devastating when you don't fit in, whether that's your appearance or your athletics, money, you know, some kids select based on, you know, are you rich? Are you poor? Do you fit in with my group? Or do you think like I think, which I think's only gotten worse, with social media, which really amplifies the pressure on kids to be a certain way or to look a certain way or to have a certain thing. And it doesn't often occur to children on social media that the things that they're seeing are curated and polished and photoshopped to create those appearances, whether that's a true reality or not. You know, I can stand up next to a window and tell you I'm in the Bahamas. And if the sunset looks nice, you may believe me.
And with AI, the advent of AI and the way that's coming on, you know, even a person with 17 years experience in television and looking at video, I have a hard time telling what's AI generated and what's not.
Absolutely. I think that's only going to get worse, too.
Well, I have my own.
Which just compounds the problem.
I have my own thoughts on that, but I won't delve off into that rabbit hole. But,
whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, we've talked about what parents can do, but if a young person, a preteen or teenager, happen to be listening to this and they're feeling this sense of worthlessness and poor self-image, what would you say to them?
Well, they definitely want to reach out and try to get some help. It's so much better to address the problem than to ignore the problem. And those things don't usually just automatically correct. I mean, we can all have moods and phases we go through. Especially that's part of what adolescence is you're changing and how you understand yourself and how you function in the world and relate to other people. But I would encourage people to go ahead and seek counsel from people you trust, your parents, school guidance counselors and trusted teachers. Coaches can point you in the right direction. Pastors are a great resource too. And then, of course, there's mental health professionals when it comes down to severe depression or anxiety and those kinds of things. And that's just somebody to sit down and help you talk through things who doesn't have any of their own feelings involved in what that is, and maybe some education that can really help see things different and do things different.
And we need to stress, I think, that there's nothing wrong with seeking help. It doesn't show weakness. It actually shows strength.
Yes. I mean, the bravest things I've ever seen are in my counseling office, where people face fears and adversities and choose to do something about that. The idea that you're weak to get help, we don't apply that in any other part of our life. You know, if my car breaks down, I take it to a mechanic. If I can't do my taxes, I pay an accountant. You know, if I can't lift something, I ask somebody to help me. But somehow we think when it comes to mental health that you ought to be able to do it all on your own. And very often you're just so much more efficient to talk to somebody who's already got some wisdom or perspective or education in regards to helping with that.